Well, it's going to be some time yet before we know if the government's proposed package, in whatever shape or form it finally comes out in, is a success or a dud. Next year's federal election will be based very much on the economics of this package and what state we're in 18 months' time. To discuss this extraordinary week, we're joined by three guests this morning in our breakfast studio. We have in our Canberra studio, we have Lenore Taylor, National Affairs Correspondent with the Australian newspaper, and Michelle Grattan, Political Editor of The Age. Good morning to you two.
Hi, Fran.
And Stephen Mayne, journalist Stephen Mayne, publisher of the Mayne Report, joins us from Melbourne. Stephen, good morning to you.
Hi, Fran.
Now, let's start with Malcolm Turnbull's decision to oppose the government's package. I just want to play some of Malcolm Turnbull's YouTube message posted yesterday.
It's important that we respond to the economic challenges calmly, rationally and effectively. It's important our response creates jobs. And that is why we've proposed an alternative, which would cost half as much, create half as much debt, create jobs, bring forward tax cuts instead of having a cash splash.
Malcolm Turnbull on YouTube. Let me put this to all of you. Lenore, I'll start with you. Is this an economic argument by the opposition leader or a pure political play?
I think it's a bit of both, Fran. I think he's trying very hard to retain the sort of economic credibility status that the coalition had in government. And Kevin Rudd is in a very sort of obvious political way trying to hammer away at that by painting this in ideological terms with his essay in the Monthly, you know, about the evils of neoliberalism that caused the whole thing. But I think that in the end, I think Malcolm Turnbull's made a political mistake, because I think he has really staked everything on opposing this package outright. And I think that it would have been far more constructive to sort of argue the whys and wherefores, but get a seat at the table to talk it through, because this is really an economic crisis. And I think nobody's actually arguing against the idea that we have to do something pretty big and something pretty quick.
Stephen, what do you think?
Well, I think the politics is irrelevant. This whole issue is about national solvency and whether Australia is equipped to cope with an unprecedented global credit crisis. And so the economics of it are just obvious. You can't go just crazily into debt. So I'm really amazed that all these journalists are coming out and analysing the politics so much. When this is a national credit crisis, smaller countries around the world are, you know, defaulting or having to be bailed out by the IMF. And the big question is whether Australia has enough reserves left if there's a currency crisis, or if we've got to bail out our banks next year. And the government's just going out and recklessly throwing all the money away, and people are talking about the politics. I mean, this is about a global financial crisis. And of course, Malcolm Turnbull has done the right thing to try and preserve the balance sheet strength of Australia.
Michelle, is this the politics of this irrelevant? Should we just be looking at the economic blueprints? And if we do that, is Malcolm Turnbull on a winner?
Well, I don't think the politics are irrelevant at all. I think that what Malcolm Turnbull's trying to do is differentiate the Liberals from the government, and also put himself in a position, if the economy gets worse, to say, well, we predicted this and look what's happened. He's also trying to re-inflame the concerns Australians have about debt. Mm-hmm. And those concerns, of course, helped the Liberals to win in the mid-90s. But the trouble is that the experts are coming out. A majority are saying that a big package is needed, and you get evidence like that from Ken Henry, the head of Treasury, last night. Now, you can say, well, of course, Treasury would say that, but nevertheless, here are the experts saying that the Turnbull package would carry many more dangers than the government. So I think it's a very difficult situation that Malcolm Turnbull is in.
If it is about... Sorry, Lenore, go on.
I just wanted to say, I think if Malcolm was operating on the motivations that Stephen is suggesting, i.e. just completely on the economics of the matter, it seems strange that he would have taken a totally oppositionist view rather than trying to sort of propose something within the realms of debatability with the government so that they could come to a bipartisan solution.
If it is the economic argument, let's have a look at how effectively the opposition is mounting that. I just want to play you, here's a bit of the Treasurer, Wayne Swan, in Parliament yesterday.
She was on Fran Kelly this morning. On Fran Kelly this morning. And this is what she said in answer to a question about what she would do She said what Australia should do is sit and wait and see how the global recession pans out.
The Treasurer was talking about Shadow Treasurer Julie Bishop on this program. Sit and wait and see how the global recession pans out. Stephen, is that an adequate argument? Is that an effective argument?
Well, absolutely. This week should have all been all about a cut in interest rates. I mean, we've had a massive cut in interest rates. It's our biggest weapon against this massive global crisis. And instead, the government injected this crazy political debate and reckless spending spree on the very day when we all should have been talking about how relatively strong Australia is and how we're going to save $10 billion a year on our mortgages. I mean, now we've got at 10:15 this morning, we've got the government doing a $600 million bond tender, so they'll be starting on this $1 billion a week borrowing program. In 7 minutes' time, Rupert Murdoch's probably going to be announcing a multi-billion dollar loss. Every day, Australian companies like Qantas and Westfield and Lendlease are desperately trying to raise money, and billions of dollars a day is being raised. And here is the federal government voluntarily just surging into debt and recklessly imperiling the national balance sheet. I mean, I just find it amazing that people are nitpicking about the politics when mid-sized countries around the world are being bailed out. The Russians yesterday have just announced a massive package bailing out a whole bunch of former Soviet states. I mean, what have we got left in the can to help bail out Thailand or Indonesia or if all these things happen?
So we shouldn't have a stimulus package? You don't agree the need for one?
Well, we maybe should do a few things on infrastructure and some measured stuff, but to come out and blow $22 billion on welfare in 3 months at a time when you would have been still in surplus if you just didn't do this massive cash splash, it's just voluntarily surrendering your balance sheet strength completely needlessly when you could have done a bit of stuff in infrastructure and let the cuts in interest rates come through and keep everything you can in store if you need to bail out the banks. I mean, yesterday, Suncor, which the Labor Party itself owns 1.18 million shares in, so the Labor Party itself has lost close to 15, 20 million on its investment in Suncor. It's just done an emergency $900 million raising yesterday. What if we need to eventually have a bailout of Suncor? How much is left in the Treasury? I mean, the future fund is down to $24 billion in cash left.
Okay.
The cash reserve.
It's 5 to 8 on breakfast, and the panel, we're going to rapidly run out of time here if we get, the economic arguments keep going backwards and forwards, and so do this whole talk about politics. Michelle and Lenore, we've been talking about the politics of Malcolm Turnbull's position here, but Warwick McGibbon, a Reserve Bank member and a professor of economics, says it's the Rudd government that's playing politics with this issue. He said it risks turning what isn't a crisis into a crisis with all its, you know, the rolling out of these massive spending packages, the address to the nation, talk of this being an equivalent to a rolling national security crisis. Michelle?
Well, he's a very respected economist, but nevertheless, I think that it's very hard to say that this isn't a crisis. The figures for the Australian economy show that we're rapidly getting to the stage where it is a crisis for us, and of course it's a very, very dramatic crisis for countries abroad. He does tend to take a rather contrarian position. I think the other day he was suggesting that the GST should be cut at least temporarily. So it's very much a minority view.
Lenore, do you think Kevin Rudd is also playing the politics of this? You mentioned the article he wrote in The Monthly. He's trying very clearly to position not just the government but also Malcolm Turnbull, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I think the government is, to a certain extent, playing politics with it. I think that article sort of caricatured global ideologies in a way that, you know, doesn't actually make much sense in the real world. And I think Malcolm Turnbull has, in a way, fallen into the trap of letting the Prime Minister do that because he's cast his objection to this package in those same sort of ideological, theoretical terms in the way that he's arguing for tax cuts as opposed to what he calls the cash splash. But I've got to say, I find it amazing that Stephen would argue effectively that the government should do virtually nothing in these circumstances, you know, on the basis that we might one day need to bail out a bank. I mean, the consequence of doing nothing is to allow the economy to sink into a recession with all of the consequences, the human consequences that has for unemployment and for the families of the unemployed. I mean, by all means, we can argue the exact size of the package, we can argue its best composition, but I think that the case for doing something big and doing something really quickly is pretty overwhelming.
Stephen, I'm sure you want to say something about that, but we can keep arguing the economics of this. There's the economics and the politics. I do want to go, in the last couple of minutes we've got left, to what's going on within the coalition, because there's been a lot being written about the pressure on Malcolm Turnbull to take this hardline position. Has he been led there by Peter Costello? I read a comment Peter Costello made this week, and he has been saying a bit. He said he didn't think the Rudd government will ever be in surplus. Now, that struck me as a pretty potent political line, but only if the electorate cares about deficits. Stephen?
Well, how can you get back from a $35 billion deficit next year? Of course the Rudd government will never be in deficit, because the mining boom is over.
Well, that's suggesting it might be a one-term government, or even if it's a two-term government, we'll still be in deficit by then.
Well, I think it will be a one-term government if we have something like a currency crisis. I mean, think about it this way. The Queensland borrowing requirement this year, the Queensland state government, is $16 billion. The Feds should be guaranteeing the Queensland debt, just like they've guaranteed the bank debt. The public sector borrowing requirement, when you add the $35 billion that the states will be borrowing this year, is now $55, $60 billion. It's just massively unsustainable. Of course they're going to be hugely in a deficit. And
okay,
what will happen in a year or two is just massive spending cuts, just like we've seen, say, in Ireland this week, where they had to announce $25 billion of spending cuts.
All right, now I have to stop you there. We've got 60 seconds left. Michelle and Lenore, the politics of Peter Costello, where's it? What's happening?
Well, I think the politics of Peter Costello is that his re-emergence is changing the dynamics. We don't know how much, but there's no doubt that the Liberals are sitting up and taking notice. And, of course, there's this emerging line that maybe he'd be a better economic spokesman than Julie Bishop, or almost certainly he would be, which must alarm him a lot, that he does not want to be Malcolm Turnbull's shadow treasurer.
OK, Lenore, you've got 15 seconds.
I think there's also a big element of Peter Costello wanting to protect his own economic legacy from the politics that the government's playing.
I think you're absolutely right. Lenore Taylor, Michelle Grattan and Stephen Mayne, thanks very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thanks.
Michelle Grattan from The Age newspaper, Lenore Taylor from The Australian and Stephen Mayne from The Mayne Report.